Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is alive. People have underestimated the power of God. I feel sorry for people who have voted God out of their life, out of their choices. And they went with the phony scientist. But the Lord is alive. And He is a blessing to all those who love righteousness. If a person loves the right thing, the Lord knows how to deliver His people. Now, I don't say this lightly, but when the Lord know that you would love Him, that you would love life, that you would do the right thing, He prepares people way ahead of time to give you the Word of God. He even raised people up just to tell you the Word of God. And everybody has that. There's a group of people that will listen to different individuals. God has so many different types of unique ministers. And He prepares preachers for people. And He utilizes them as a gift. Now, every person has deep treasures within. We're designed to live forever in His kingdom. We're designed to be a blessing. A lot of your goals and things that you really want to accomplish in your life, if you follow God, some of those things will be done. But remember, we're going to live forever. So what we don't get to explore here, what we don't get to do here, we will do later. Because God put wonderful treasures within us. And He'll call us to follow Him and seek first the kingdom of God to help rescue people that need us. And then once, when He returns and come back and build His kingdom, we have forever to do whatever it is that's in our heart that we would love to do. And I know this, you know, when you spend time with the Lord, you learn things that's interesting. So if you've been called to the ministry, Please don't traditionalize your ministry. Obey the Lord. Follow Him. Do the unique things that He gives you, even when it looks ridiculous. Because a lot of times the Lord give us things to do that just seem plumb crazy. It's different than anything we expected. And then we do them and it works. I remember the first time He gave me a writing. It was more like a message, but it wasn't a message. It wasn't exactly a poem. It was something new. I didn't know what to do with it. I thought it was a message because it came like a message. And I realized the Lord wanted me to write it down. I just knew that by the Holy Spirit. And this was the first one I wrote called Coming to Light. It was a living letter. That's what God called it, a living letter. I said, "Mama, I don't know what to call this." I said, "This is it's not exactly a poem. It's kind of like a poem, but it's kind of like a message." She said, "Those are sermons." But the Lord called them, you know, living letters. In 1991, I got the first one, and I was sitting on the couch at home, and the thought started coming, and I realized the Lord wanted me to write it down. So I began at like number 8, and I wrote it. I started writing, and then when it stopped, then I went back and wrote the first 7, and then He gave me the title called Coming to Life. Now, it was in my notebook for months, and one day I let a friend of mine, Dennis Morgan, he had an alternator shop, Eastern Alternator and Starter in the eastern area of town, of Birmingham, right there in Wahoma. And he said, "Man, get this printed up and give me a copy." And so when I got it typed up and I went to Office Depot and got 100 copies printed. You know, it didn't cost but a few dollars to get 100 copies. Well, the same week I did all this, my uncle had passed. And I gave my cousin Wayne Griffith one. And I talked about this late on other broadcasts. And he said, "Man, this will bless the family. Pass them out. Give everybody in the family one." So I did. As soon as I did, the Lord gave me another poem or another writing. I didn't know what to call it. And so I started passing them out at church and wherever I go. Brother Van called me the mailman. And these were, I didn't know what to call them. But in 1999, the Lord gave me Living Letter Ministries. So when you do things, whatever God, if you follow Him, your ministry has a purpose. God don't need 100,000 traditional pastors. Everybody want to be a pastor because that's all they know, or an evangelist. But God has apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I met some wonderful teachers. They just anointed to teach, and I like to teach. Within my ministry, I do a lot of teaching. And one of the things the Lord told me was, let not my people lack knowledge. So teaching is a strong part of my ministry. But He called me to be an apostle. And I thank Him for it. I just want to do the work and to Jesus come and get out of here. I'm not about titles, but the reason, it's a type of ministry. So the type of ministry you are, people need to know that. It's not about a title. It's not about prestige. It's a lot of work. Ministry is work. My pastor said the way you spell ministry is W-O-R-K, work. But Jesus said, learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. With the anointing, it's easy. Whenever God gives you something to do, there's an anointing to do it. It's all about love. I love God, and I love His will. Now, when the Lord first told me in 92 what kind of minister I was, an apostle, I said, in fact, He said, you're a chief apostle to the church. I said, what? I wrote it down because He used to speak to me, and I write down what He say. And I sat there just thinking about it. I said, why? I'm like, my life is already complicated. And this is what I was thinking in my mind. My life is already complicated. And now I got to tell people that my calling is an apostle, and people are going to think I'm weird. Because traditionally in America, people think some old weird teacher told people that God stopped calling apostles, and a lot of Christian people went along with it. But God never stopped calling people to be an apostle. People, you know, they just didn't. Some people have that calling. It's not something that you can merit. Sometimes when pastors, they start churches, they may do it because they have an apostle's anointing, but they don't like to acknowledge it, and they call them a bishop. Well, a bishop and an apostle is the same thing. But it's not how big a ministry you have. If you have the anointing to be an apostle, that's what you are. It's an office. And if you don't do anything with it, you have that anointing, but it's dormant. It's kind of like if you took a baby and strapped them down, never let them learn to walk. They still got arms and legs. But if you take a child and you pamper them, you go get things for them, and you don't let them work for themselves, go get things for themselves, they're not using their arms and legs, and their arms and leg muscles will remain small. And people that sit behind a desk too long, their bodies get soft, and they can't, you know, they don't have the strength to do strenuous work. And their muscles never grow. Well, when the Lord calls you to an office, if you don't fulfill it, you stayed in one stage. But if you start doing that, operating according to the Word of God, knowing that God is with you and He's alive in you, as long as you're active, you're getting stronger and stronger. You're growing from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And then because you're bearing fruit, the Lord will purge you and you'll bear more fruit. He'll help you drive out the things that's not right. Things that we collect along the way. Just like my mindset against being an apostle. But the only reason I went forward is because I gave God a vow. I said I would obey him and I would follow him. I'd do whatever he say. So once he told me this, I had an obligation. Now, most of the apostles that I met, they're hiding from it. And I don't say that lightly. I know they're hiding. I can detect when people are apostles by the Holy Spirit. I know it. But they don't want the stigma of being different. And people like to go along to get along. They're afraid of the opinions of man. Well, one day, when I was at Refuge Temple, I got baptized. And I was baptized. And at the Holiness Church, they like to baptize you in Jesus' name. But I believed in being baptized and what it was for. And I understood baptism. I knew that I was identifying myself with Jesus Christ and all that goes with him. And I was saying bye-bye to my old reputation. And I left all my reputation in that baptism pool. And the word teaches that we are dead in Christ and we're alive to God. And that's how, the purpose of baptism is to let folks know that you're on Jesus' side. And I don't know everything that God will have me do from the beginning, but I trust him because his track record is good. I have faith in him and I trust him. And when he said do this, out of all the things he could have had me to do, that's what he called me to do. So in my history with the Lord, he doesn't do things for nothing. He does it for a very well sound reason. So I had to get out of my emotions and out of my way of thinking and follow him. And I was nervous because it was new to me and I didn't know what to do. But I depended on him to guide me. I didn't call myself to the ministry in the first place. And I depended on him. I knew that if he told me to do it, it was important. I believed that. So I began to endeavor to do what God gave me to do, and it worked. Now, when I was baptized, I identified myself with Christ. He made me alive. He made me righteous. And I'm not trying to go by some reputation. You know, I left my reputation and that dead man in the water. I left my old life behind me. And if people think that I'm not on God's side, that's not my problem. Because when you live the light, it speaks for itself. People say, well, you just want to be something you're not. You just want to seem bigger and greater than others. No, that's not the purpose of being an apostle. Jesus said, he that is the greatest servant will be the greatest in heaven. I'm not trying to be great. I want to serve people so they'll live. The anointing that God has given me can help people live, and I believe it. The office that God gave me, if I do what I'm supposed to, I'll grow from glory to glory, and I'll be a blessing to people from the time I first begin until I finish my course. And all that I do in his name. Everything he'd give me to do, I take it very, very seriously. And I do it like I mean it. And when I operate under the anointing, it's easy. Because he's given me what to say and do. And I learn. And sometimes in order to do the next phase of what he wants me to do, he teaches me things. He started giving me insight. He started teaching me how things should be, what I should do. He teaches me things about people, things about humanity, things about nations, how things happen, what he's doing. Some things I can share, some things I can't. Paul said, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. So some things, the Lord told Daniel, he gave Daniel more information than what he wrote down, because he told Daniel to seal the vision. And there were still things that Daniel was unclear about. And the Lord told Daniel to seal the vision. So he wrote it in a way where people can't understand it until the Holy Spirit is ready for them to understand it. A man can't do that of himself. It takes the Holy Spirit and him yielding to the Holy Spirit to do that. Now John did the same thing. John had more revelation about revelation than what he presented to us. And the Lord told him to seal the vision too. Well, in your ministry, there are going to be things that he'll give you that you're not supposed to release until this the right time. And there were things in my life that the Lord told me, and many years later he had me to reveal it to sometimes people. Sometimes just a few people. And some things I'm still holding. I may not ever get to release it. For specific reasons. Whatever God give you is important. Whatever God give you to do is important, and you need to do it. This life is temporary. Laying down your life. Remember, Jesus laid his life down, did the Father's will, then he picked it back up. Now, what if Jesus wanted to go out and build houses? He had a passion for building houses. But he had to do what the Father wanted him to do, and lay his life down for us. And he never got a chance to build the houses he wanted to build. Well, remember, he did want to build houses. And he did lay his life down. And he picked his life up. And then he prepared places for us to live. So, what I'm saying is, listen. What you do in this life, the work you do, is temporary. We have to make it count. We don't have to have the mansion on the hill right now. We need to be doing the Father's will first. And if the Lord bless you to have some of the things you desire on this side of heaven before time, so be it. You can ask what you will and it'll be done. But let's put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If the church ever get that revelation, they'll prosper so much easier. And so many ministers, they send out appeal letters and they try to get people to give and you know. But if you really follow God, I'm not saying that they're not, but if you truly follow God, it will work. The Holy Spirit will make sure you have what you need, even if he do use appeal letters. Now, you have to follow him. You have to go in his presence and see how he wants you to do the financial end of your ministry. In my ministry, I fix cars on the side so I can do what I have to do. Because Paul said the day will come, and here it is, that people won't endure sound doctrine. And I realized from ministering to people, the way I minister, people don't always like it. Sometimes they do some soul searching, and I might be one of the last ministers they'll donate to. Because I tell them, I preach the things that they got to do, because there's a God with side and a man with side, and you're going to have to choose to love people. And people like to be upset with people. Sometimes people don't want to forgive, and they want to hold grudges, and they'll rather do that than leave all that in the baptism pool and walk in love with people. Now, I started with you know, when the Lord first called me to the ministry, I started by asking the Lord to teach me how to love his people. And I talked about how I almost got in a fight with a guy, and I didn't want to. The Lord told me everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil. And it quieted my spirit. And I had the strength I needed to do that. I had run out of strength, and I was about to fuss and fight and cuss and just like I used to do. But I didn't. That was a close call. I said, and I never experienced how the Lord strengthened me like that by saying a few words. I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. I don't ever want to lose it on somebody. And I said, it's not over yet. I'm not good at this. You know, when you're honest with the Lord and you need his help, now he can work with you. I don't believe in pretending. I'm open and honest with the Lord. That's how David, well, I learned it from David. That's how David was, and that's how I am. King David was open and honest with God all the time. And when he missed it, he went and told God he was sorry. And he asked the Lord to teach him, asked him to restore him. Well, I need the Lord to guide me in this life. I did not know how to do what I was trying to do. Now, he taught me how to love people. And I found out it's one of the best things I ever learned in my life. If I had to lose everything God ever taught me and keep one thing, it would be how to love his people. Because from there, I learned so many wonderful things. And see, people don't like to do that. They don't want to operate in love like God does. Jesus said, love, do unto others you will have them do unto you. People barely want to do that. Peter said, love everybody like Jesus loved you. And people definitely don't, they want to hear a teaching where they get to be like they want to be and they still get blessed. And that's who they give their money to. And I realize this, even among pastors, follow God, do what God, they don't want to give up power. They want to hold on to that, to what they want to do. And sometimes they're hiding from the will of God. But I'm telling people, follow God, do it his way. And I realize people are not going to give me money to preach what I'm preaching, and they don't want to hear it. And I'm not going to be in strife about it. I'm not going to wait until they get on board. So I fixed cars on the side. I knew how it was going to be, and I knew it from my heart. I said, what's... When the Lord gave me the radio ministry, I said, I had to teach some tough things. And I don't do advertisements. And I use all the time for the ministry. I don't even advertise my own business. But the Lord blesses me. And it's hard, my work is hard work. And I do it so I can fund the radio ministry and this website ministry. And I made everything free. All of my books are free. I don't sell messages. They are all free. And as long as God give me breath and ability, they'll stay that way. I may get some of my books published so that it'll be easier to distribute. But I'm not trying to get rich off books. He didn't call me to be a printer. He called me to preach his word. And that's what I do. He'll take care of me financially. And I use the skill I love to do it. So I started the radio broadcast and the ministry. Radio ministry the same month, same week. Well, actually, I was preparing, so I started the business a few weeks ahead of time. And then the radio ministry. But I was preparing for the radio ministry. I actually wanted to save money up first because I don't like to be one of these people that start something and then have financial trouble and have to stop. But since I began the radio broadcast, the Lord has kept me on the air. And it's not been easy, but it's been a ride. It's been good. The preaching part is easy, but it's a lot of work. I don't mind. You have to do your ministry how God give you to do your ministry. And since I don't receive offerings, I don't have to quail to people's. I don't let people quail what I do. Well, brother preacher, you talk too rough. You gotta tone it down. When I'm preaching by the Holy Spirit, hear me good. I preach what He put in my heart, and it come out like it come out, and I learn from it, and we all should. I can't always appeal to man. Jude said, sometimes you have to teach the word and sometimes you have to snatch people out of the fire. It takes whatever God want to do. That's how we're going to do it. And I watch people and organizations. They go along to get along and they preach what they think people want to hear. And they have that professional drone. And that professional drawl in their voice. I don't do all that. I speak like the people do. And I speak what God give me. And shut up. I love it. I love doing God's work. It's too serious to do it wrong. I'm not going to do the word of God haphazardly. And everything that we do, God is alive. The reason people don't know how alive he is because people have went along to get along. To get along with people that don't really want to know God. They want to do what they're doing. But I'm going to present the Lord, and whoever want to love life, they'll receive life. And whoever don't, they'll make that choice. There are people out there who really want to know the Lord, and that's who I'm after. And there are people who really care about God. I'm after them. And there are people that need to know that God loves them. I'm after them too. But how can you trust God if you don't know him? And how can you learn who he is if you don't believe him? But the light that God gives us, Satan tried to tempt us against the light, against the life of God, the results of what happens when you follow God. He don't just tempt you against the Lord and against Christ and against the principles of God. He tempts you against all those things, but he also tempts you against life itself, the result of walking in love. And I found out there's a wonderful and treasurable result in doing it God's way. Over time, you see people change their opinions. You see people get saved who normally wouldn't. That, to me, is more priceless than any precious metal, pearl, jewel, or anything else that man would give his soul for. But I thank God for the life of God. I love him thoroughly, and I will do all that's in his heart until Jesus come, and I will live forever in him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.